Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Acts chapter 3 in the Truth Version. While you're turning to that, I've got a predictive prophecy for you this morning. Summer is coming. But like the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we're not quite sure when. At verse 6, Peter said to him, "I don't have any silver or gold to give you, but what I do have I give you now. Walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He took the man by the right hand and began to pull him to his feet. Immediately his ankles were healed and were made strong. He jumped up and began to walk. Then if you go on to verse 16, "So by faith in the person of Jesus, this man has been healed, and he is someone you clearly recognize. It is by the name of Jesus and the faith that comes from knowing him that this complete healing has been given to this man, as you can all see clearly for yourselves." You are a branch living in the vine now. How many times have you said it so far this morning? The Spirit of glory is in you now. How many times have you said that so far this morning? Keep affirming it. It is because of him you are in Christ Jesus now. It's all now. And this morning, we're going to talk about victory in the vine. Yes. If we're abiding in the vine, then we're abiding in the life of Jesus. And God's power is in his life. God can't do anything without his power. Everything that he does through his life, or, if you like, through his power. So, because Jesus said he came to give us the fullness of life, that's tantamount to saying that he came to give us the fullness of his power. So, if we are living in the vine, and the life of Jesus is living in us, we're living in his power, and his power is living in us. And we know that Jesus said to the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Simply that the power is in the life. If you have the life, you have the power. Power isn't something separate from the life of God. So you can't receive the life of God and say, "I want more power." It doesn't make sense. Like that song people sang a few years ago, "More Power," really was a nonsensical song, because it's only by living in the good of what God has communicated to us that we see more power in our lives. Not by saying we want to see more power. So in Acts chapter 4, the disciples needed to see God doing even more. I mean, that happened soon after this wonderful healing that we just read about. They said, "Well, we need to see your hand stretched out to heal. We need to see you doing more miraculous signs and wonders. We need to be able to preach your word with boldness." They didn't say we needed more power. "We just need to see you doing more, Lord." So what God did was to give them a fresh impartation of his life. The Holy Spirit came upon them again. And so because the Holy Spirit filled them afresh, there was more power in what they were doing. Of course, they had to exercise faith, but power is not an attribute of God that is distinct from his life or his love or the other aspects of his being. So it's having more of Jesus in our lives that gives us more love, more power, or more of his Spirit, however you you look at it. So the more fully we abide in Jesus, the more realistically we do that in our lives, the closer the unity that we have with Jesus, and the more life, the more love, the more power, the more joy, the more peace, the more everything is actually manifested in our lives. God doesn't sort of separate the power from the rest. His life, just like your life, you have power, but your power is in your life. If you weren't alive, you wouldn't have any power. But you see, the more healthy you are, the more powerful you can be. When you're sick, you don't feel so powerful. You feel weak and you feel inadequate to do things that normally you would be able to do when you feel healthy. So God doesn't want any sick branches in the vine, spiritually sick, I mean. He wants every branch to be weak, which is why the scripture says we are weak in him. Because when we know our weakness, then we are strong. So we recognize that the branch in and of itself can do nothing. It's absolutely weak, totally, utterly useless in itself. But because it's abiding in the vine, it's drawing the life of the vine, the power of the vine, the love of the vine. So Jesus says, abide in me, abide in my life, abide in my love, go on living. But it's my life, it's my love, it's my power. And so when he is talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, the promise, great promise that was going to come upon them after he'd returned to heaven at the Last Supper, he doesn't even mention power. He mentions the power when he appears to him in his risen body. But when he gives the great commission to the disciples just before his return to heaven, he makes this interesting statement. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, actually, the old translations translated that, the authorized version, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Authority is the correct translation. But there are two words in the Greek, exousia, which is authority, and dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite, which is power. But the two are so closely related in Scripture that they're sort of like two sides of a coin. So where the authority of God is exercised, the power is released. And so Jesus was giving to his disciples, imparting to his disciples, authority to go and make disciples of all nations and to baptize, to teach these disciples to obey everything that the Lord had commanded them. All authority had been given to him. Authority can only be delegated. You can't get it for yourself. So then Jesus delegates his authority to believers. So you see what Peter and John are doing when this cripple is healed is using the delegated authority. What I have, I give to you. It wasn't just that he had power, but he had authority to heal in the name of Jesus. So he makes it quite clear when people were beginning to question, well, how has this happened? Well, it's got nothing to do with us. It's not our own godliness. It's not because we've achieved some kind of spiritual status. It's all the name of Jesus and the authority and the power that comes through the exercise of that name in faith. So he makes it clear that faith in that name, or faith in the person, because the name denotes the person in Scripture, faith in the person of Jesus releases the life and the power. Right now, as branches of the vine, how is this going to influence us? It is a great thing. I mean, I've seen on a number of occasions just taking hold of people's hands and lifting them up off a bed or out of a wheelchair, and they're immediately healed without even praying for them. It's wonderful to see that kind of thing. As you can imagine, this is the kind of thing that was happening here. But when you see those things happening, you're very well aware that it's got absolutely nothing to do with you whatsoever. That, you know, on another day, you could take somebody by the hand in a wheelchair and want them to get up and walk, and they wouldn't. That it's only God that can cause these things to happen. So it's a great privilege when you see God doing these kinds of things, but you're so conscious that it is God, absolutely, from beginning to end. Of course, you know, when people see these things happening, it has a tremendous effect on building and encouraging their faith. But of course, our faith shouldn't really be in what we see, but our faith is in the person. Yeah. What we see can encourage that faith. But as Peter is making clear, look, it's faith in the person, it's faith in the name of Jesus that causes these things to happen. Okay, so where does this put us as branches of the vine? Now, of course, when Jesus was talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, he was talking about living in him and he coming to live in them by the power of the Spirit. He was making this series of life-changing statements and tremendous promises. But all these things could only be fulfilled once he had been crucified, resurrected, had returned to heaven, and the Spirit was poured out. So if we're living in the vine, we're living in not the person of Jesus as he was when he was on earth, but we're living in the resurrected, glorified King who reigns in heaven. It's as if the roots of this vine are in heaven. And the vine is constantly drawing the life, the power, the love, the whatever, from heaven, so that it's flowing through the vine. Now, Jesus is saying that the fruit is produced simply by abiding in the vine, not by the branch doing anything, but by what the life of the vine can do through the branch. You understanding? The reason why so many Christians' lives are relatively powerless is because they are trying to do the works of power. Hello? Yeah. Whereas, in fact, you see, the only way that we can bear fruit that lasts is through the life that flows through the vine. So Jesus says your job is to abide in the vine. And if you abide in the vine, then there will be much fruit. And it will be fruit that lasts. And it will be fruit that glorifies the Father. That whatever the vine is drawing from heaven will flow through the branch and produce the goods, produce the results. Now, that means, of course, we're going to be active. That abiding in the vine is not positive, is not passive, it's actually actively doing what Jesus tells you to do. But it's not taking the activity away from Jesus. You understanding? It's what Jesus does through the branches by the power of the Spirit that is actually going to produce the results. So Peter makes clear, look, what is happening here has got nothing to do with us. It's not our godliness. It's not because we're some super spiritual beings or anything like that. It's all completely Jesus. But what he and John were doing was exercising the delegated authority that could lead to the release of that power. Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah.
They weren't trying to heal. They were allowing Jesus to do the healing. They weren't trying to perform a miracle. They were just responding to the way in which the Spirit was leading them so that the almighty power of God could be released into the situation.
Yeah.
Now, okay, there may be specific times when specific miracles like that are going to happen in our experience or through us, wherever, for some of us more regularly than others, perhaps. But what we want, what we all need to get used to, is the power of God flowing through our lives every day. It's not just the power to see miracles, to see healings, to see signs and wonders. As we saw in the keynote 2 or 3 weeks ago, when Paul prays for the Ephesians, he prays that the power of the Holy Spirit will first of all enable them to believe. So the power that God has put within the vine, and therefore within you as a branch in the vine, is the power to believe. Now, the power to believe is going to come before the exercise of the authority. A, you've got to believe you have the authority. B, you've got to believe that you can exercise the authority. C, you've got to believe that if you do exercise the authority, something's going to happen. And then Paul prays for the Ephesians that the power of the Holy Spirit will enable them to know how extensive the love of God is for them, so that they are filled with all the fullness of God. Not that they just sort of have the fullness, but their lives are actually consciously, creatively filled with his fullness day by day. So Peter and John, when this miracle took place, they were full of God. They were full of his power. They were full of his authority. It was still Jesus, because it wasn't their power. It wasn't even their authority. It was what was delegated to them by Jesus. Everybody with me?
Yes.
But when we exercise what is delegated to us by God, there's always victory. Because God cannot do anything that is without power, or without his life, or separate from his love. His love motivates every action, even when he disciplines, even when he prunes the branches. It's always in love. It's always for the welfare of the branch and for the welfare of the vine. Everything he does is done in love. Even when he corrects us, even when he needs to discipline us, it's always in love. The scripture makes that clear. So because he is love, love motivates everything he does. Because he is almighty, his power is in everything he does. Because he is eternal life is in everything he does. Because he is our joy, everything that he does will create joy. And he says, I say these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full.
Yeah.
When we lose sight of Jesus, we lose sight of the joy, don't we?
Yeah.
When we get refocused on Jesus, the joy returns.
Mm.
Why? Because he is our joy. It isn't that we have joy in and of ourselves, but that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Just like love, patience, and all the other things we were talking about on Sunday. So this vine is a victorious vine. It is the Jesus who has overcome. So those who are branches, who have been grafted into this vine, are living in the overcoming life of Jesus Christ. Now, He has overcome sin. Did someone say amen?
Amen.
So he has overcome all the sin of those branches. In fact, he cleanses the branch, doesn't he, before you're grafted in. He forgives and makes pure, blameless in his sight, and so on. So he has overcome sin. So even if the branch sins, we have the advocate, the one in whom we live. And he intercedes for us with his blood. So there's no condemnation for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That doesn't mean we treat sin lightly. In fact, if you really understand that, you will not want to sin to grieve the Lord. Because you appreciate that sin affects your ability to abide in the vine. You don't get thrown out of the vine if you sin, but how closely are you actually walking with Jesus? You see, you can't walk close to him when you sin, which is why we immediately need that forgiveness so that we can get back to walking at one with him. Amen? He has overcome sin. He has overcome self. Mm-hmm. He has overcome you.
Yes.
And you see, the secret to a life of freedom in Christ is to acknowledge that you've been defeated.
Yes.
Not by the devil, but by Jesus.
Yes.
He has overcome that self-life.
Yes.
Amen. He overcame it on the cross, didn't he?
Yes.
Now, you still have to have a self-life, otherwise you wouldn't exist. But you can overcome that self-life because he has overcome it.
Yes.
You're living in the one who has overcome that.
Yes.
You're in the one who has defeated that on the cross. He also, of course, has defeated Satan.
Yes.
So you're living in the one who has overcome the adversary, your adversary, the one who hates you, the one who is opposed to you, the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. But he has overcome him. So by abiding in the vine, we overcome sin. By abiding in the vine, we overcome self. You see, if you continue to confess, I am in the vine of Jesus now, the Spirit of glory is in me now, you will find that you will sin much less. You will trust in yourself much less. Not because you're focusing on denying yourself, but you're focusing on the one in whom you live. You're focusing on the truth. Any happy people here this morning? So this is, when Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as you've heard me say, this is the climax of his whole teaching. He spent 3.5 years building up to the point when he could say this. It's the heart, it's the essence of everything that Jesus came to accomplish. All that he did on the cross through the resurrection and in his ascension to glory was to make it possible for us to live in him and he to live in us, so that God could then fulfill his plan and purpose through our lives. So everything is sort of tied into that phrase, continue to live in me and I will continue to live in you. But it is a conditional phrase that it's difficult to talk in these terms, but the amount with which he is able to live in you or to express his life through you will depend upon the amount to which you abide in him, the depth of your unity with him, how fully you abide in him in your life. So the more fully you abide in him, the more of his life and power and love and everything else will be seen in you. It is a quantitative thing, and Jesus makes that very clear, which is why, you know, you hear me say it's such nonsense to say God loves everybody the same way. Just look at the scripture and you see that's not true. That actually, the more you love God, the more of his love is able to be expressed in your life. God loves even the sinner, but he loves the saint far more than the sinner. God can love the disobedient, but if you look at Scripture, he loves the obedient much more than he loves the disobedient.
Yes.
So what we want to do is to live in the fullness of his life, in the fullness of his power, in the fullness of his love. Amen? And all we have to do, Jesus says, is to abide in him. And we abide in him by obeying his commands, and especially his command to love. You see, I was saying the other day, the problem with the modern-day church, if we look generally, is that it thinks it knows better than Jesus. That churches try to do all kinds of things that Jesus says only he can do. For example, the Great Commission is to go out and evangelize. So we want everybody to go out and evangelize, quite rightly, or to be witnesses. But actually, it doesn't matter how many sermons you preach to people, you will never motivate most of them to go out and evangelize. They all know that's what they're supposed to do. And you can have one sermon after another. You can have a great evangelist come along, you know, and he expects everybody to be a great evangelist, like he is a great evangelist. But when he's left, everybody will be enthusiastic about evangelism for about 3 weeks, and they'll get back to where they were before. Because the only way that your motivation is affected is by meeting with Jesus. So Isaiah has this great revelation of the holiness of God. He meets with God in his holiness and glory, and he hears God say, "Who will go for us?" His answer is immediate. "Here am I, send me." Why? The sending comes out of the meeting. This is why our encounter evenings need to be encounter evenings, where we really encounter the Lord, because he is then going to motivate us to do what he wants to do. The motivation comes out of actually Jesus himself impacting us, impacting our lives. We can't create in ourselves, let alone create in other people, the motivation to do the will of God. That has to come from the Lord himself. So you see, what Jesus is saying is, as you abide in me, so you will have the motivation for obedience to me. Your motivation is going to come from me. And what is my command? My command is that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, you see, Jesus makes it clear that is his method of evangelism.
Yeah.
Creating a body of love. So he prays, "Father, may they be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me." Yeah, he sends them out to preach the gospel. He sends them out to heal the sick and to raise the dead and all the rest. But at the same time, he's creating a body that will be evangelistic by its very nature. And what will make it evangelistic is the love. And where does the love come from? The love comes from encounter with the Lord. It's there in the branch, in every branch that abides in the vine. But you see, what encounter with God does is it deepens our relationship with the Lord and therefore our ability or the way in which we abide in him. So it's not just a thing of the head, it's a thing of the heart. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? And so often we want to try to produce the fruit without doing the stuff or allowing God to do the stuff in our lives that he says is necessary in order to produce the fruit. Are you there? You see, the best evangelists are those who have just been born again. They want to go out and tell everybody about Jesus. Why? Because they've just had an encounter with Jesus. You can't keep them quiet. You can't stop them. You can't hold them down. They're just so full of fire. But that fire that usually dies down in most believers, why? Because they've stopped having encounter with him. Hello? They know more after they've been Christians for a while. They know more and do less. And this is the problem, you see. Knowledge puffs up. And the problem for many Christians is they think that knowing what is right is what is important. But you can know what is right and still not do what is right. Knowing what is right doesn't produce any fruit. Only doing what is right. Are you there? So it's very important that here, when we come here day by day in our 8 o'clock, that our chief motivation, our chief desire is to encounter Jesus. Not just to sing to him, not just to have somebody bring us a word. I mean, once a week we have the keynote just to get us focused on what God wants us to do next. But then every other day we come here to meet with God so that he can put into effect that which he is speaking to us about in the keynote. Are you there? So we take the word and respond to the word and let God reproduce in us that life that flows through the vine. So that it becomes real, it's substance in our lives, so that it actually does produce stuff, things happen. Fruit is produced, but not just the fruit of miracles, but the fruit of love especially. That's why Jesus says, if you abide in me, you abide in my love. And you abide in my love just as I lived continually in the love of my Father. And I lived continually in the love of my Father by obeying his commands, and you will continue to live in my love if you obey my commands. Yeah. It's all very simple, really. So there's this kind of abiding and going all at the same time. Uh-huh. Encountering him and then going out in his name. So at the time when Peter and John were performed this miracle, the saints in Jerusalem were meeting together for prayer every day. If you look at the scriptures, not just in the days before the Spirit came, but afterwards, they met together every day. They were praying together every day. They were encountering the Lord together every day. So then some of them get thrown into prison, but they still encounter the Lord in prison. Yes. So they get released. They know what matters is that you just keep meeting with Jesus. You just keep encountering the Lord. You're not just praying for things or praying for things to happen. And so when they're out there doing the business, they say, this is Jesus. This isn't us, this is Jesus. Actually, it's got nothing to do with us. All we did was just exercise what he'd given us. He'd given us authority. Because we're a branch of the vine and all authority is given to him, all authority is given to the branches. And where we exercise that authority in the name of Jesus, then the power is released. But you see, you exercise authority under authority. When you exercise delegated authority, you don't decide what to do. The Holy Spirit decides what to do. That's why I say one day, like I've seen, you know, I've just taken hold of one person after another out of wheelchairs, and they've all got up totally healed and off of bed, totally healed. Easy. When that's what the Spirit tells you to do. Try to do it on another day and you get egg on your face. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're not in charge. The one in whom you abide is in charge. Huh? And the one who lives in you is to lead you. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They don't try to lead the Spirit. The Spirit leads them. Are we getting this? When you take the initiative away from God, you're in trouble. And then you begin to wonder why this isn't happening, that isn't happening, why doesn't it work out? And basically, it's because you have taken the driving seat away from Jesus, away from the Spirit. And he's waiting for you to move over again and let him take the driving seat. So you see, this is really what Peter is saying. Look, I'm not in the driving seat. John isn't in the driving seat. This is Jesus. Yeah. All we're doing is just acting in his name. And to act in his name is to act on his behalf. So you can only act on his behalf to do what he is telling you to do. Yes. You can't act on his behalf when he's not telling you to do something. You're acting on your own initiative then. Amen? So even when you're ministering to other people, how is the Spirit telling you to minister to this one, or to that one, or to that one? Because these are three individuals, completely different people, different circumstances. And the Holy Spirit is not a conveyor belt. See, each person is unique. So God will deal with each person in a unique way. Now, there are times, as I've told you, I've seen the Spirit of God literally fall on thousands of people at the same, precisely the same second. Awesome. Totally awesome. When things like that do happen. I mean, they're indescribable. But you see, that's God. You could pray 1,000 times for the Spirit to come upon people and nothing like that would happen. Oh, the Spirit of God would move. But for such a unique thing, you know, one moment and then the next moment the Spirit has literally fallen on about 6,000 people. Awesome. But you can't make God do that kind of thing. Just like you can't make God start a revival. Hello? Yeah, we can get our lives in line so that a move of the Spirit can happen, but most moves of the Spirit are not really revival. When God wants to have the impact on the world around that he wants to have. We are, in other words, totally dependent upon God for him to fulfill his will. Not your will, but his will. And even Jesus prayed, didn't he? Not my will, but yours be done. So even Jesus in his humanity had his own will quite apart from the Father's will. But he lined his will up with the Father at all times. Now this is the importance of abiding in the vine. You forget that you're in the vine, and you'll start to make independent decisions, think independently, speak independently, do independent things, and get into trouble. But the more consciously you abide in the vine, the more Jesus is able to effect his will and purpose through you. Now, the problem is, you see, we think that with a little knowledge and a little anointing, there's all kinds of things we can do. But Paul, you see, he learned the lesson, didn't he? It's only in my weakness that I'm made strong. The biggest danger in the Christian life is thinking you know something and thinking that God has just been waiting for your anointing. Ta-da! See what I can do through this one. No, Jesus, who was the anointed one, said that he had a humble, gentle heart. The power came from the humility. Why? Because in his humility, he said, I can't do anything myself. Jesus said that, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, said, I can't do anything myself. So why should Christians think they can do something? Because they've got an anointing. I can't do anything. Which is why, of course, he didn't do anything until the Spirit had come upon him. And the voice was heard from heaven affirming him, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I well pleased. And once the Spirit was upon him, the Spirit would work through him, but Jesus was still affirming, I can do nothing myself, nothing. See, this is what Peter and John were saying. Peter was saying, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. Not our godliness. It's not because we're apostles. Not because we're anointed. It's all Jesus. It's called faith. Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. What does that mean? According to your nothingness and his everythingness.
Oh, come on.
So, you know, I've told you, I put it in one of my books, this little thing the Lord told me. I can't, but he can. So if I don't, he will. But if I do, he won't. Simple thing the Lord taught me many years ago, but boy, I find these simple things just help to keep you on track.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes you're faced with something and you feel, I can't do that. And Jesus' answer to that is, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to trust me so that I will do it through you. You're just a branch in the vine. And what matters is the branch abides in the vine so the life in the vine can produce the fruit. Amen? So don't sort of get yourself into a twist and think, I've got to perform signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Well, of course you will, so long as you realize you can't. You see, why was Jesus so effective? Because he said, I can't do anything myself. Now, beloved, if that was true for Jesus, don't you think it's true for you? Or do you know something that Jesus didn't know? Or can you do something that Jesus couldn't do? You see, the secret is to know I can't. I'm utterly, totally useless in and of myself. I'm a branch in the vine, but apart from him, I can do nothing. Jesus said it. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But if I abide in him, the life that is in the vine will work through me. The life that is in the vine will give me victory over sin, over self, over Satan, over sickness. The four S's. I don't fight sin, I overcome sin. Or rather, the life in the vine enables me to overcome sin. I don't fight myself. Yeah, I have to deny myself, but how do I deny myself? I allow the life of the vine to keep, you know, to dominate my life instead of the self-life dominating my life. Are you there?
Yes.
Same with Satan, you know. We are given authority over all the power of the over all the power of the evil one. Mm-hmm. That's part of the authority that we have.
Yes.
But it's not us that actually defeats the powers of darkness. Exercising that authority releases the power of God. The demons have to do as they're told.
Yes.
Why? Because it's not that they're afraid of you, but they are afraid of Jesus. And when you exercise authority in his name, on his behalf, there's no two ways about what they have to do. They have to obey. It's not a long battle and a long fight for hours. They just have to go immediately. I mean, Jesus said, go, and 2,000 demons left in a single moment. That's the nature of his authority. So you don't have conversations with demons and all that sort of nonsense. You just tell them where to go, to hell, where they belong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have that authority over sickness. But you see, in all these things, we're acting in his name. Therefore, in obedience to the leading of his Spirit. Because the vine is Jesus, it is a victorious vine. There's no defeat in the vine. There's no fear in the vine. There's no failure in the vine. The incredible thing is that God has grafted weak creatures like us. Not that we might become strong, but that his strength might work through us. So the Lord is the strength of your life, according to the scripture. You don't become strong. The Lord remains your strength because you remain weak. You see, you're in trouble if you think you know something. I mean, I've been in this business 50 years now. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is, well, in 50 years I've learned a little bit. But every day is learning more. But you see, I can't depend upon what I know. If I depend upon what I know, I'm not depending on Jesus. Mm-hmm. If I depend upon what I know, I'm depending on the past and not the now that is essential to abiding in the vine. Amen. So it's great to study, as we do here, to study and get to know the Word and so on. But of course, knowing the Word isn't going to produce the fruit. It's only doing the Word. And what the Word says is you can do nothing of yourself. But by abiding in the vine, much fruit, sweet fruit. With those seeds in we're talking about Sunday, which will plant something in the lives of other people. You see, in Jesus, you're allowed to give other people the pip. Sorry, foreign students wouldn't understand that, and by the sound of it, half the British students didn't either. But it was a very clever play on words. I was the only one who thought it was clever. Now, when you give somebody the pip, you upset them. But so we're not allowed to upset people, but you can give them the pip that is in this. Forget it. Revelation isn't happening, is it? Praise God. Now, just shows you. Either that, no, we won't go there anymore. We'll leave that. So, praise God. All we've got to do is live where God's put us. At one with Jesus. Living in Him. And He in us. Encountering Him. Because that daily encounter with the Lord just enables our abiding more fully in Him. Enables us to trust Him rather than ourselves. When I say encounter, it's not experience, you know, having experiences. You see, you can encounter Him in the Word. You can encounter Him when you pray. You can encounter Him when you worship. You can encounter Him through something that happens. You can encounter Him through someone else. But what we should expect is that every day will be full of encounter.
Yes.
Because we are in Jesus. How can we live in Jesus and not have any encounter? How can we live in Jesus and nothing happen? How can Jesus be living in us and nothing happen? That would be a nonsense, wouldn't it? So, our expectation is always for more.
Yes.
Not more power, but more Jesus.
Yes.
Because the more we abide in Jesus, the more of Jesus will be seen, will be reproduced, will be manifested, will be revealed through our lives. And the more that happens, the more fruit for the glory of God. So let's just finish by focusing on the power just for a moment, but understanding that the power is part of this much bigger abiding in His life and having the fullness of His life in us. But let's just focus on the power just for a moment or two before we finish. What are our expectations? What are your expectations as to how the power of God will be revealed through your life today? The power to believe, what Paul prays for, the power to love, to know the fullness of Christ in you today. The power to heal, the power to perform signs, wonders, miracles. See, if we don't have any expectations, where's the faith? Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Well, if there's no faith, there's going to be no power. So, doesn't God want us to expect the power along with the love, the life, everything else? Doesn't he want us to expect the power to be revealed, manifested? Mm. Now?
Yes.
I mean, are we having an 8 o'clock without power? Because nobody believes that there will be any power at the 8 o'clock. See, it's funny, isn't it? Christians are funny creatures. You have a special occasion, perhaps with a special preacher, and everybody comes expecting this is going to be a powerful time. So it is. But then everybody comes to the usual meeting on Sunday or the usual 8 o'clock in the week, but not with the same expectation. Why not? Same Lord? Yeah. Same gospel? Yeah. Same word? Same spirit? Yeah. But not the same expectation. So, I mean, honestly, who came into this room saying, this is going to be a powerful time this morning? Oh, this is going to be a good time, the word. Oh, who's thought this is going to be a powerful time? Power of God is going to impact my life this morning. Because His power is in His life. See, where's your expectation? Go on, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's get focused on Him and just begin to worship Him. Purata para sata para sita di santo. Purata paria letu bakara sita di sataria letu bakara sita di santo. Purata paria letu bakara sita di santo. Purata paria letu bakara sita di santo. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la bazata paria leto bakala sita di sandu. Balata paria leto bakala sita di sarato bakala sutta di sandu. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, you can add to your faith confession, I am abiding in the vine now. The Spirit of glory is in me now. I have His delegated authority and power now. That means I can use that authority and power in whatever He puts before me to do. Hallelujah. Even though I may be weak in myself, incompetent in myself, unable to do it myself, I have His delegated authority and power. It's still His authority, not mine. It's His authority. It's not my power. It's His power. It's delegated authority and power. So let's make that confession before Him now. I have Your delegated authority and power. Just begin to praise and thank Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the leading of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that He is the Spirit of power, the Spirit of glory, Spirit of truth, Spirit of love, Spirit of life, Spirit of faith. Thank you, Lord, that He indwells each one of us in this room. We give you glory, Lord, for the plans and the purposes that you have for each one of us and that you have for us as your body in this place. We recognize apart from you we can do nothing, so there's no point in trying to do things in our own strength or according to our own wisdom or in our own way. But only by abiding in you, by resting in you, by knowing that Sabbath rest of faith. Thank you that that rest of faith is a resting in you, it's an abiding in you, it's a trusting in you. And thank you, Lord, that as we do that, so your life flows through every branch and produces the fruit. Fruit of your life, the fruit of your love, the fruit of your power. All for your glory, all for the Father. And we praise you, we bless you, we exalt you, Lord. We bless your wonderful and your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Porata paria leto bakarasitri sandama. Balata paria leto bakarasitri sandaria leto bakarasotri sandama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, instead of asking for power, just begin to ask the Lord, to thank the Lord that you have the power. That the power is in the life. The life is in the Spirit. And the Spirit is in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we have that fullness of life, therefore the fullness of power. The fullness of your authority to exercise that power. We just give you the glory, we give you the honor, Lord. You have equipped us in every way for your plans and purposes to be fulfilled in our lives. Thank you that you never ask us to do anything without supplying the power to do it. Thank you that we have the power to fulfill your will. We have the power for your purposes today to be fulfilled in our lives today. We have the anointing of the Holy One today. That anointing abides, it remains. It's in us today. And we praise you, Lord. Praise you for all the different ways in which your power is going to work in us today. The power to believe. Lord, we just recognize that we can't create faith. That you give us the power to believe. That faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from the revelation that you give by the power of your Spirit. Faith comes by the Spirit of faith operating within us. We can't even pray as we ought. We can't even believe as we ought without you, Lord. Thank you that you are the author of our faith, that you are the finisher of our faith, that we're even dependent upon you for our faith. And we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. That you want to keep authoring faith in us every day, in every situation in which we're placed. Thank you for the power to know the extent of your love today, so that we will live in the fullness of your life, just as your word declares. Thank you, Lord, for the power to know that love, the power to abide in your love today, the power that will enable us to obey your commandments and to continue in your love. Thank you, Lord, that you have equipped us with everything we need to obey what you want us to do today. We give you all the glory, give you all the honor, give you all the praise. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Just hear Paul's words. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Come on, thank him for that power at work in you today, so that Christ dwells in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Thank you, Lord, for your power at work in me today, to know the full extent of your love for me today, that in every situation in which I'm placed, you love me, and I'm abiding in your love, and your love is in me, and I'm never separated from your love, and nothing in the whole of creation can separate me from that love. And I praise you, and I bless you, and I thank you that as I know that love, I can live in the fullness of God. And I praise you, and I bless you, and I exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to be motivated by my encounter with you in the truth, in the word of truth and the spirit of truth. I can't even motivate myself, Lord. But I thank you that your spirit at work within me, your spirit and your word together at work within me, are the motivation I need to desire your will, to do your will, to say no to sin, no to self, no to Satan, no to sickness, and yes to your plan and your will and your purpose for my life. Praise you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that because your life is in me, your miracle-working power is in me today.
Yes.
That if I need a miracle today, I shall have a miracle today.
Yes.
Today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of miracle-working power. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. I just believe there are situations you've been praying for, perhaps in your life, perhaps in someone else's life. And God's just asking you the question this morning, have you believed for a miracle? Or have you just prayed because you felt that you ought to pray, it was your duty to pray, you should pray, you wanted to pray? But he's saying, have you believed for a miracle? Whether it's in your life or someone else's life. Is that your expectation? Was your expectation that the prayer would be answered miraculously, supernaturally? Have you allowed God to author such faith in you? So right now I believe he's speaking to some people and he's doing precisely that. He's just saying, come on, believe for a miracle. For a miraculous answer. Whether it's for yourself or for someone else. Don't expect things just to go on as they have been. Expect a miraculous change. Not just miracles of healing, but a miraculous change in the circumstances. Yes. Perhaps a miraculous change in the attitudes of people. Even when it comes to finance, some of you, with your fees and things like that, the Lord is really challenging you, saying, well, have you believed for a miracle? You see, sometimes people don't believe for a miracle because they can't see where the miracle could come from. But you're not supposed to see where a miracle can come from. That's the whole thing. If it doesn't depend upon the natural at all. It depends God doing what God does. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't do due diligence in if you have a job or whatever, but are you expecting God to miraculously undertake? Praise God. Can you begin to thank him for the miracle? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.